Business Services Studios. You're listening to KTXX FM and HD1 BK, KTAE AM Elgin, K270CO Round Rock. Guests on the horn appear courtesy of the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina is located on Highway 360, just south of West Bank Drive. Chad and Kevin are brought to you by Miller Lite. Afternoons on the Horn with Chad Hastings and Kevin Dunn.
You guys both look like you might want to hit me in the face.
On the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Afternoon delights. It's magnetism
by the time I look. And I like it too.
Hour number three on a Thursday. Kevin Dunn is here. He just advised me not to watch Problem Child as a 44-year-old man.
No, and Trey agrees. That one's just not going to carry over.
Okay.
I did like it as a kid, but I know that now.
All right. I'm Chad Hastings. I've not seen Problem Child.
That's called growth.
And now I won't. Now it is. So hopefully that there's... So Howard the Duck's a yes, but Problem Child's a no.
Yeah, and Howard the Duck will be tough to watch at this age.
Okay, but you think I can get through it?
But you can get through it.
Okay, I can power through.
Some sexual innuendo.
You think Problem Child, I'm out in what, 10 minutes, 15
Probably.
Minutes?
Probably. Michael Richards plays a pretty nutty janitor.
By the way, either during a break or on the air today, I must discuss with you an episode of Seinfeld that was on while I was doing some stuff in the house today. Oh, some pure genius.
Classic LD.
My God, it was good.
What episode? Just tell me.
The limo mistaken Nazi guy.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. There was a couple. And it's
Costanza's classic in that.
Oh, my God. It was so good. So good. All right.
Guys, they always have, is it TBS that shows old Seinfeld episodes?
Yes. That's the channel my wife has on our big TV that's automatic when it comes on. And I was doing some touch-up painting in the house, and I just wanted something in the background. That's what was on, and I caught two or three really good Seinfelds today.
So when I go to the gym in the morning before I come in, I'm there from like 8 to 9, and I guess they play back-to-back episodes at that time as well. And I have to be careful because sometimes I'll look up at the television that's always on TBS, and I'll see a scene from Seinfeld where I'm not even hearing the audio, but I know exactly what's going on, and it'll cause me to lose it in the middle of whatever the exercise is that I'm doing.
Oh, man.
That's
such
impressive.
A great show.
Good stuff. All right.
BK's been getting on it.
Oh, is he in now?
Uh-huh.
The end of season two now, I believe.
Oh, he's going in order.
Yeah, he came over to my place, and I had the first five seasons all in DVDs. And I said, hey, you know, if you can keep it out of that frat room of a living room you have over there.
And look at you. We say you're an old man. You had it on DVD. You had it in a form he could understand.
Well, I have 121 on VHS tapes, but I doubt he can do that.
So you don't need to tell him that part, right? Because, see,
it was a chemo days.
I would love to hand somebody a digital version of All in the Family. It's all on VHS, though. I'd come off as such an old man. I got every episode, but it's all here, and you can't play it because you don't have this machine. Yeah, that's good. It's good on you because now you got him into it.
Bet you Dustin's loving this.
I bet you Dustin is. He's a Seinfeld guy, right? Let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline and talk to Dustin McComas. Dustin, we know that you worship the Big Lebowski. Are you a Seinfeld guy?
I am. I can't say I've seen all of them. I'm very bad about watching television, and I think I'm pretty sure when I grew up, all I watched was Saved by the Bell and ESPN.
Fair enough.
I missed out on a lot of great things, but like you, I watch them often during the reruns because they're always on when I eat lunch at home.
Yep.
And I got to say, my favorite one is the one where they go to the beach with like the lobsters or whatever, and that's my favorite one.
God, that was so good.
That is a good one. That is a really good one.
God, that was so good. Oh, these are cooked? Not much. They tend to shrink when they're in water. It says lobster in it. That was it.
Yeah, that was good. All right, Dustin McComas, orangebloods.com, at DMcComasOB on Twitter. A lot of Longhorn stuff going on right now. Dustin, why don't we go ahead and start with this baseball team? They're about to start the home schedule with Purdue this weekend. What do you think so far, 3-1?
So far, so good. I think whenever you can go on the road to open the year, and especially going to Louisiana for three games, which is probably one of the more tougher environments those young players will see this season, whenever you can win a series there and then bounce back and take a midweek game at Rice in very convincing fashion, I think that's a very, very positive start to the season. I really liked – my main takeaway from them was they responded in every single game. There was a lot of competitiveness. Anytime the opposition made some sort of run scoring inning or did something, Texas always had a response. And even in that game they lost, they were down 8-1 at one point, and they had the bases loaded with two outs in an 8-6 game in the ninth inning. So they came all the way back and actually had a chance to tie that game before eventually losing that game. So I think it's a very, very encouraging start for Texas early on.
Yeah, and we've seen the arms. You talked about how many good arms they're going to have. I mean, Cole Quintanilla's looked great in a couple of appearances. Talk about him and some of the other guys and what you've seen so far.
Yeah, speaking of Quintanilla, I mean, he was up to 97 miles an hour at Rice.
I heard.
I thought that was kind of just a stadium radar gun being a little too hot, but I asked around to a couple of scouts and people was like, no, that happened. I'd only seen him up to 93 miles an hour. So I think that he's getting stronger. He's getting more confident. He's getting further removed from Tommy John, and you're starting to see that talent show. So he's been really good, and he was really good in the fall too. I mean, of all those pitchers in the fall, I think Bryce Elder and Cole Quintanilla earned the most praise from David Pierce. So I think that they're eventually going to have to decide whether he's going to be a back-end guy or maybe he's a guy they want to put in the rotation. But Donnie Diaz getting back on the mound at Rice with two shutout innings was a huge development for Texas, because if he's anywhere close to what he was at San Jacinto, that is an instant impact arm in the back end of games and maybe gives you some more flexibility with what you could do with some other guys. I thought Ty Madden threw better than his numbers were at Rice. The stuff looked really, really good at times. But, yeah, they got no shortage of options, but they're going to have to figure it out as these games go on, where guys fit. And I think that'll play out over these next 10, 15 games.
Dustin, pardon me a weird question, but did a cop just tell you to, like, get out of your car? Do we need to let you have your Miranda rights read to you? What just happened?
No, I'm walking to my local coffee shop, and what you heard was the
bus.
Voice of the crosswalk, crosswalk thing that speaks to you.
Okay,
which I've always wondered what that voice is from. It kind of sounds like a Sean Connery was in a Western. You know, that's the kind of voice it has when he hit that thing. It's like, you know, you must wait to cross, and then it starts beeping and lets me cross without getting hit by a car.
All right, just want to make sure.
In Austin, they should go with Big Tex.
They really sure. Sam Elliott. Dustin would like that. You, Sam Elliott.
Oh, I am. You know,
right?
You know I'm a fan of anything Sam Elliott.
Yeah, exactly. With Lebowski, it'd be a perfect connection. So, Dustin, what about Regan at shortstop? I know you may not have had a chance to see a lot of it in these first four games, but so far, so good?
So far, so good. You know, he had some pretty bright moments defensively at Louisiana. He had some times where the youth really showed. You know, there's a play in that, I believe that second game, or maybe it was the third game on Sunday, where he needed to eat a throw, and he said he forced it over there, allowed a guy to take third base, and he scored on a safety squeeze the next batter. So he's shown some youthful moments, but he's also made some pretty tough plays in the middle. And I think that the confidence he's playing with is a big positive for Texas, because I don't think that's the type of confidence they saw in those scrimmages in the fall when they got out there against San Jacinto McLennan. And he seems like he's much more comfortable with what's going on at the college level. And his talent showing. He's showing some talent at the plate. He's showing some talent defensively. He's showing his athleticism. I think that they got to be very pleased with the way he started the season.
Dustin, you reminded us a couple weeks ago, hey, don't forget about Austin Todd. This guy's healthy, and when he's healthy, he's a difference maker. So far, so good.
Yeah, he looks really, really good. And I really like that he's got to get a bit of a feistiness to him. He's very, very competitive. He kind of takes battles with pitchers personally, and I think that that's something that that lineup could really use more of, and is something that could really rub off in a positive manner with the rest of that lineup. So, yeah, I mean, he's never lacked talent. I mean, this is a guy heading into a sophomore season. Scouts were really, really excited about what he could develop into at Texas, and obviously his sophomore season was derailed by injuries, but he looks really, really good right now. Talking to him today over at Dishwalk Field during a media session, he's very, very confident. You can tell that he's just so relieved to be back on the field doing what he does at a high level, and I think he's in for a big season this year.
Four games in, what do you take out of the first base situation?
Still a work in progress. You know, DJ Petrinski, still his shoulder's still bothering him. David Pierce said it again today, that it's still not quite there yet. So I think that he's going to continue to get a lot of looks at first base because they need to get his bat in the lineup, and they need Zach Zubia's bat in the lineup. And you know, I know they've tinkered with Tate Shaw over there. I just don't see that being an option much moving forward. Maybe Sam Burleson, if he gets in there more, gets some right-handers and kind of proves himself, perhaps he can turn that into platoon-type situation. But I think you're just going to continue to see a lot of guys over there, depending on who's on the mound for the other team.
So, Dustin, transitioning to basketball, the old saying in you know, around here and around Norman, it doesn't matter what sport it is. They could be playing checkers. It's Texas and OU, and it never matters. Throw out the rec. I get all that. They got to go win this game Saturday morning, don't they?
I think they do, because I think it's a very winnable game. I mean, it's an 11 a.m. tip on the road at a place that, you know, basketball is the second sport there. I think that fan base is really checked out on that basketball team because of the losing streak they had in Big 12 play. I think it's a very winnable road game, because if you win that game, it gives you such more margin for error with the rest of your games. It basically becomes take care of your business at home, and you're absolutely in the NCAA tournament. So I think on paper, Texas is a better team than Oklahoma. I think they match up well with them. I know Oklahoma is pretty good at trying to get some mismatch situations with Christian James and Brady Manick and really attacking them in one-on-one type stuff on offense. But Texas has the personnel to handle that. I think it's a winnable road game. I think you've got a break in the schedule in the midweek. You've got an opportunity to kind of recharge your battery some, really focus in on some areas for growth offensively and defensively, and come out and play with a lot of energy. So I'd predict Texas to win this week, and I think they're going to get the job done up there.
Did you see any growth? And if so, what was it offensively for Texas last Saturday against the Cowboys?
Well, they're doing a better job of understanding, you know, who they are and what they're playing against. So I know that Kansas State game, they had that 4 or 5 minute stretch in the second half where they were totally out of rhythm before they got back into the groove of things. But they're doing a much better job of not forcing the pick and roll down the other team's throats when it's or trying to when it's not available. And when they played against Oklahoma State, the way they defend, they invite you to play so much one-on-one type basketball. And that's what Texas did. They're like, okay, if that's the way you want to defend us, we're going to spread you out with Kerwin Roach and Matt Coleman and Courtney Ramey. We're going to go at you downhill. And that's how Texas is their best at offense. It's either playing one-on-one basketball with their guards and just allowing them to make plays with the occasional post feed here or there to Osikowski and Hayes, or spreading teams out with the pick and roll and really getting those bigs downhill and opening things up that way. I think that they have a much better understanding of who they are in offense, and they're making better adjustments in-game, which is a positive moving forward.
Dustin, one more basketball one from me. Did you think Dylan Osikowski took and made three good threes, or did he just make three threes?
No, he took and made three good threes. The ball came out of his hand about as well as I've seen it come out of his hand at Texas. I mean, it was a very, very confident stroke. It didn't have as much kind of floating arc as normal. I mean, he stepped into those things in perfect rhythm, good follow-through, good mechanics, and shot those things with a lot of confidence. I think that, you know, this year he's generally shot, you know, good shots. You know, he's taking threes that come in the flow of the offense. He's not really forcing any of them. I think that maybe he could provide more of that down the stretch, because he really shot the ball well there last game.
Dustin, last time we talked to you, we were worried and saying we're heading towards rough waters. As baseball fans, we still could be heading towards rough waters, but feel a little better with Manny Machado getting the $300 million going to San Diego. Do you like this deal for the Padres?
I do, because they've got so much young talent, and you've got a guy, Machado, that's still 26 years old. You know, somebody posted it on Twitter. I forget who it was. He writes for CBS. He said at the end of Machado's deal, he will be younger than Robinson Cano is right now. So you're not paying Machado into his 40s. You know, you're going to have to pay him in the back end of his deal when he starts declining, but not well into his 30s and beyond 40. So from that sense, I like a 10-year commitment about as much as you can have one if it's not paying a 24-year-old guy. The talent is for real. We know that the antics and the mental stuff and how he can be a knucklehead sometimes, but the talent is real, and he plays a lot of games. He's consistently produced. I think that they could play him at short in the meantime until Fernando Tatis Jr. is ready, and then eventually maybe move him to third. And all of a sudden, the Padres would have one of the better infields in baseball. They have a really intriguing outfield. I think now that they have him, they're going to be more aggressive either in the trade market, potentially maybe in free agency, and going adding another starting pitcher, because They know that this was not a win now move, but they know that they're in a position to potentially win now because they have Machado. But really, this was about the future, about surrounding their young up and coming prospects with a guy like Machado in the infield and the guy at Hosmer, a leadership type guy at first base. And then you hope you figure it out in the outfield. And then maybe you either develop those arms you've got in your system or you use them in trades to go out and get some frontline starting pitchers.
So, Dustin, when that story went down, I'll admit that the little boy baseball fan in me and maybe the sports talk show host in me thought, oh, put on your ponchos and umbrellas because it's going to rain deals. It's just going to go crazy. Is that a short-sighted way to look at this? Is there still trouble out there?
I think that there's still trouble, but I do think it's bugged me the more the conversation has seemingly gone this route nationally. If you look at the list of available free agents, it's not a good list. It's just not. I mean, Adam Jones is one of the best available free agents, and I like Adam Jones. He's a terrific leader. He's one of the most respected guys in baseball, but he's 33 years old, and he was the second-worst center fielder in baseball last year. And people are like, well, why isn't this guy getting money in a free agent deal? It's because teams can get that production for much cheaper somewhere else. So there's not a lot of very good available free agents right now. And, you know, I know people are frustrated with the lack of movement that way, and you've got these established major league players like Gio Gonzalez and guys like that that aren't getting deals. So I do think we're heading towards a conflict. But the conflict will be we're seeing a lot of these guys hit free agency when they're older.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like the NBA where you've got these guys signing mega deals when they're 23, 24, 25 years old. Heck, Manny Machado was relatively young in terms of being a free agent at 26 years old. You're going to see guys like Mookie Betts hit free agency when they're older than that. You know, Mike Trout would have hit it later, although he signed that contract early on that kind of bought him out of some of his arbitration years. So baseball needs to adjust its service time issues. So that when Vladimir Guerrero Jr. starts in AAA, even though he's the best hitting prospect on the planet, he'd be the best hitter in the Blue Jays lineup, he's going to start the year in AAA because they want to delay his free agency. So he's 25 or 26 years old when he's a free agent. And these guys just aren't able to maximize on their free agent dollars more than one time unless they sign a bunch of short-term deals, which maybe that's the route these guys choose to go in the future. But I do think we're heading towards a conflict, and I think that that's the solution they need to look into. They can't continue to allow these teams to keep top talent that could help them now down in the minor leagues because they want to delay free agency another year, because they keep doing that over and over again, and you're getting these elite talents hitting free agency at age 27 to 28, and nobody wants to pay them 8-9 year deals, and I don't blame them for doing it.
I agree 100%, and that needs to be fixed no matter what happens. Okay, play Jeff Luhnow right now. Do you go get Keuchel? Do you get Marwin? I mean, there's still some people out there, Astros fans, I know they've been texting like, hey, are we going to do something here?
Yeah, I still wonder. I really thought that they were going to make some sort of splash, especially with all the prospects and MLB-ready guys that they have as kind of, you know, fourth outfielder and bench-type players. I just don't see them getting back in on Keuchel. I think the Marwin stuff sailed when they didn't give him a qualifying offer. So I'm not really sure what kind of avenue they're going to go. They clearly feel really, really good about what they have, and perhaps they're just going to let that play out throughout the season. And then when trade deadline approaches, maybe make a deal then. But, yeah, they just have so many assets, and this is more, much, much more of a trader's market than it is a free agent market. And I just assume that they're just going to make a big deal. But seems like they're pretty content on where they are right now. And, heck, they're probably going to be one of the best teams in baseball on paper right now. So it's not like they're struggling. But I do think eventually they're going to have to capitalize on this window that they have by making a move somehow, because they simply just have too many pieces. And a lot of those pieces are going to either sit on their bench or in the minor leagues.
So you think Harper to Philly for, what, 310 or something like that to break the record?
Yeah, I could see 310. I could even see something as much as 320 or more. I still think Philly's going to get it done just because they've been in it from the beginning. They've been willing to spend the money. But I do wonder, you know, perhaps the Machado deal shake things up from the perspective of maybe a team like the Giants are willing to spend more money to compete with the Padres. Or maybe the Padres, you know, are thinking, hey, let's go make two big splashes and go try to sign Harper as well. I mean, they've been linked to him the last month. But I think Philly's going to win out. They've just been in it from the very beginning, and they're willing to pay the big bucks to get them.
Dustin, I said last question, but we've got some breaking news here. It's been reported that Kerwin Roach was suspended for a violation of team rules and will miss the Oklahoma game Saturday. How obviously it impacts them. How big of an impact?
Whoa.
Hello?
Got Dustin's phone. So good. That could have been us, too, today. We've had some technical stuff going on.
Yeah, it's been one of those crazy days.
Dustin, you still there? All right. Okay. So we want to call Dustin back and get a reaction?
Yeah, or maybe.
Get it? All right. Sorry there. We're trying to get that answer in. Okay.
So this is Chris Bennett, who texted us, said, breaking news, one of your former colleagues and a guy you and I have been friends with for a long time, via Chip Brown, Kerwin Roach suspended for violation of team rules and will miss the Oklahoma game Saturday.
Okay. Yeah, that will definitely affect things. We'll talk about that as we move on. Also coming up in the Big Three, the big basketball game last night turned into a big blowout, literally. Have you ever seen that happen with a shoe? The only time I can think of is on The Incredible Hulk, when he turns into the Hulk and the shoe splits. Like, that's the only time I can think of it.
I was online, and then we got a good text on it. Specs text line, we've got some good ones today, 337-3776, that Manu, there were a couple names on there. And I do remember, I guess, shoes blowing out, but not like that. At least I hadn't seen that.
Yeah, I can't remember it happening exactly that way. Crazy stuff last night. We'll get you that story as well. Also, this late-breaking story on Kerwin Roach coming up a little later on. It's the Crap Bag with the hat game answer for you. Easy hat game today. Go to Facebook.com or the Twitter account at CHastings1049. I think it'll be easy for you on the helmets that are lined up today. We'll get you that answer coming up at 5:45 in case you don't want to think about it. It's the horn. No, I'm sorry, and I got to tell you about Total Men. See there? I wasn't ready to go. I wasn't good. I wasn't quite in shape at the end of this segment, but I want you to get in shape, guys, with Total Men's Primary Care. It is February, which means Valentine's Day, so let's, there's obviously a lot of things that you may do for the lady in your life, a lot of things that she might do for you, but if she's setting up your doctor's appointments and maybe either has forgotten to do it or you're counting on her to do it, why don't you do it? Why don't you step up and schedule that appointment? Let her know you'll be around for many Valentine's days to come. They've got 13 centers all over the area, whether you need something close to home or work. And ladies, if you are with that ultimate stubborn guy, do me a favor. You can go ahead and set the appointment for him if he won't do it himself. Tell him he's going to go to the place Chad and Bucky have been talking about on the radio. It's real simple. It's a place that knows guys don't go to the doctor enough, and they want to make sure we're taking care of ourselves. So I get mine scheduled every year in April. Get a month set for you and make sure you do it every year. It's Total Men's Primary Care. Go to TotalMens.com. Find the location that's right for you. Total Men's Primary Care, the doctor's office, just for men. Big Three coming up, including this breaking news on Longhorn basketball. Don't move. It's the horn. Hey, Mr. Williams, what you gonna do now? Chad and Kevin with you on a Thursday. New Gary Clark Jr., Trey?
Yes, this is the third and only other song that I know of that's been released off the new album that comes out tomorrow. This song is called What About Us?
Gary Clark Jr., it's called This Land hits tomorrow. Trey will not be with us tomorrow. We are warning you now. Brad Kellner will be producing our show tomorrow. I have no clue what that means. I'm not sure. Has he produced this show? Maybe a day or two?
He's produced it a couple times. It only means good things. Things are on the up and up for you guys tomorrow versus every other day of the year.
I know he's co-hosted the show.
He has.
But producing the show.
I feel like he has at least once or twice. We've done the switch.
Yeah, a couple. You have a couple, I think.
There was one that was post-Halloween, I believe, that he did you guys' show. So it allowed him to go out the night before, and I was able to trick-or-treat with the kids. So it does happen on occasion.
There you go. That'll be tomorrow, and who knows what Brad Kellner's going to play.
He'll probably listen.
You just can't tell. He might. He might.
No, he does. Does you he? Guys will get more in the way of, like, timely sound drops.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. How about that?
Yeah.
I was excited about this.
It's kooky.
and it
all turns the other way.
So you and I were both testing. We were testing Duxton back and forth.
Yes.
Oh, texting Dustin back and forth, and he said, For some reason, my phone switched from phone to something else. The call was still up, but it switched to output, so I was talking. Y'all weren't hearing.
That's weird, because we had some output problems earlier
in
the show.
Yeah, I know. I thought it was us.
Those things can happen. All right, so if you're just tuning in, a late-breaking story that involves Texas basketball and the game this weekend. Let's start right there in the Big Three, shall we?
The Big Three.
The Big Three is brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty. Any make, any model. Click AppleLeasing.com and see how easy it is.
All righty. 24/7 Sports, the first to report, I believe. Maybe others are doing it now as well. But Kerwin Roach not going to be able to play in the game on Saturday. Obviously, the senior, the leading scorer for Texas, he's been suspended for a violation of team rules. So he will not, I'm not sure if he'll make the trip. I assume he wouldn't make the trip to Norman, but Texas is now going to have to do it without Kerwin Roach. Kevin, this is one of those games they not absolutely have to have, but it'd be a really nice thing.
No, they need it.
If they could have it. This is really disappointing from multiple fronts. The basketball front, the leadership front, this really sucks.
Yeah, this is disappointing on every front, and it's been disappointing watching him his senior year anyway at times just not play well, but then there were some at least some body language and some things we've seen that for a senior, you worry about the leadership and of other guys, the Ramies of the world, the freshmen of the world, the freshmen on this team, if they're influenced by that in a negative way. But you need him on the court. And look, I know he has not been great in clutch situations in the last minute, and he'd probably have to tell you that. But he's athletic, and when he's playing well, he can impact the game a lot of different ways.
So that story, obviously, a big one around these parts that will affect that game.
There's no other way to put that, right?
It's just, yeah, it is. It's disappointing. So that story's there. That'll affect Shaka Smart's group. So then tonight, this is going to be interesting, just pull the curtain back for a second. We're going to have Longhorn Weekly with Shaka Smart coming up. Remember, they've already taped it. They taped that at noon, so don't expect Shaka to comment on it because they've already done the show. So I don't I don't want people to think he's avoiding it. Right.
Let's redo it. Yeah. Let's get Craig here.
Just right now, real quick. Can we do that? Can we get Shaka and Craig into the studio?
Let's get him in there. We'll get him to a Pluckers.
No problem.
I've got connections.
Yeah, the Pluckers. That's true. You can set up a Pluckers.
We call Dave.
So that's the campus location where they do that every Thursday. So just keep that in mind as you're listening to Longhorn Weekly tonight when we are done. Today we talked about Carolina and Duke last night. A nice win for Carolina and just a bad game for anybody that was looking forward to those two. Zion gets hurt. They're listing him as Dave. Today, grade one knee sprain. So they're saying it's a mild sprain, so that's good news. So hopefully, you know, Duke's been weird this year. The strange injuries. Jones's injury didn't last long, and that was in a big game. People were looking forward to the Syracuse game.
Reddish
got hurt quick.
Wouldn't Reddish sick for that game?
Reddish got sick for some big game.
I think it was that game.
Yeah, he was like throwing
Zion,
up.
Zion,
right?
I watched a game where he got hit in the eye.
Yes, right. Zion got poked.
Yeah, you're
in the
right.
Eye
you're right. They have.
Missed.
It has
just
been kind of weird.
Weird season so far. Hopefully, this is just a little bump in the road, and he's right back in. Maybe I don't know, conference tournament time or however long they want to sit him out.
Yeah, and hopefully he plays because this is your 1 year at Duke, and otherwise, let's just everyone sit out.
And it's
just sit out.
And it's basketball.
Don't hate to bring that up.
But
don't hate to bring that up.
Right.
That's part of the story.
That's fair.
It's very fair.
The rules are not going to allow for a guy to come crash into his leg over and over and over and over again. That's not what this sport's about.
That wouldn't have been that.
Right? But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I know what you're saying.
If you want to make a Leonard Fournette argument for me, that's different. That's not what this is.
Yeah, and you just got two different sports worlds for the people that are on the, I think these kids should get everything right away and shouldn't have to risk anything I'm on the other side. I'm more about the sport. And I want them to get their money, but it's 1 year. You're telling me 1 year at 19? And for the people that say he's not getting money, your head is in the sand. He's getting money, plus the value of that education, which will have forever the opportunity to go back for that, which, as we've talked about, millennials know much better than we do, is a lot more valuable now, money-wise, than it was when we were going to school.
That's a good point. That is a really good point. Also, at a school where they do revere their basketball stars, if that dude comes back after that he comes back and helps Duke win it all, yeah, they're going to love him around Durham forever. They'll love him anyway, but, man, if he can come back and help this team try to make a run, that'll be a nice little story. Hopefully that's the story we get.
Yeah, I just don't get the at least the narrative of I'm playing a social justice warrior, you know, for millionaires in months that are making at least $100K and could have millions in insurance on their future at 19. Sorry, it just doesn't add up for me. Call me old, whatever.
Because we have had multiple NBA guys in the last day really get after this story, go crazy on the NCAA
and the whole system and all that.
It's like, I get some of that.
If you're Donovan Mitchell and your argument is, hey, this is another reason why these guys do need to be getting paid, then I'm okay with that. But if you're saying that, nope, you shouldn't play at all and we should just go straight to the league, no, you need to look at your league and listen to some of your vets.
And by the way, in case...
When I say vets, the Barkley era.
Yeah, right. Go back to that. And speaking of a guy from that era, if you missed the comments, back in January, apparently, Scottie Pippen on an ESPN show said that Zion had done enough and he needed to think about shutting it down for the rest of the season.
Can I say this as someone who is one of Scottie Pippen's biggest fans on the court?
Mm-hmm.
Everything he has said and done off the court is a complete joke. Don't listen to him. He's an idiot.
Now, I didn't finish the comment. He said Zion should shut it down because they're probably not going to call the plays for him that he wants in big playoff games.
But who's this coming from? This is a guy who was a great team player, but at times would show things, New York Knicks, when Kukoc had to hit the shot, and he wouldn't even go on the court because it wasn't drawn up for him.
Mm-hmm.
We were getting a lot of this entitlement earlier than we thought.
Yep, that is true. All right. Also, the story we mentioned earlier, thoughts and prayers going out to this family, this random family up in New York that's dealing with the death of, I'm not exactly sure if this guy has kids, wife, whatever it is, but a 51-year-old man is dead. Jim Boeheim was driving the car. That's why we know it, that it happened in the sports world. Just a horrible story of killing a pedestrian. I know people, anybody who has a story of, even if you just hit somebody with your car and they end up okay, it's still a horrifying thing to think about. The idea that you actually killed someone, that's tough, man. I can't imagine what the Boeheims are going through, especially Jim, but also this family, obviously, who just loses the guy.
He released a statement. I don't know if you've watched any of the national news, but there have been cars sliding all over this country with this weather.
Right.
I mean, some serious pileups.
Yeah, and that it was a previous wreck. And then these people are like, this dude got out of the car. He's just trying to, you know, do what you would normally do.
Yeah.
Make sure everybody's okay. Make sure everything's good. And he ends up dead. That's just absolutely, absolutely crazy story there that connects ultimately to college basketball. But if you're just jumping in again, the big college basketball story around here, Kerwin Roach has been suspended for a violation of team rules, and he will miss Saturday's game at Oklahoma. All right. So coming up, we'll get you some voicemails if they're there. If you want to throw one in, 337-3776. Also, a little bit of crap bag for you. Found a.
Go ahead.
Well, I found a little another one of those heart tugging stories out of the AAF. Mm. Maybe a guy to root for that connects back to a college football team you love a lot.
Nice.
So I'll get you that coming up. And also give you the hat game answer. Easy version of hat game out there on Facebook and Twitter today, but we'll close that door too.
And we didn't really touch on this part of the story. Did you see Nike stock went down?
I saw just like a percentage point or
percentage half, maybe
something like that. Somebody did text us today, is Duke talking to Adidas?
Right.
And I texted back, or maybe Zion's people are talking to Adidas.
As upset as maybe the college basketball hierarchy were, if they even get upset about it. But, oh, man, this is our chance to really show something. As upset as Duke fans would have been about it, Nike had to be the most pissed.
Yeah, and they reacted quickly. They reacted quickly. They've talked about, we are going to look into this story. I mean, that's the worst nightmare for them, obviously. But, yeah, they'll look into it. How in the world could that have happened? I believe I heard today that's a Paul George shoe he was wearing.
Mm.
Like, I think it's a specific Paul George shoe that was at Duke. You have multiple choices. They have all kinds of shoes that these kids can wear. But that's
kids are going to have fun with that now.
I think that's the one that he was wearing.
It's the Paul George kicks. Your knees will go out.
Yeah.
Hey.
I wonder if the knee thing would have happened even if the shoe doesn't give. Or did the shoe giving out cause the problem?
I don't know. Was the floor? I mean, they just started. The floor wouldn't have been wet.
No, I wouldn't. You're right. I wouldn't think so. So, I don't know. I don't know exactly. Like, would he have hurt himself either way, I guess is what I'm saying. If he planted weird, But it was that was such a strange play.
I'm just glad it's this. Once I saw it, I thought, oh, no, ACL, MCL, something serious, mild, but like torn.
Right, mild strain, that's good news. So hopefully he'll be back out there. Maybe throw a brace on or something and he could be good. And obviously a big, strong guy like that could be okay. Hopefully he is okay. And I heard he did come out of it with a an Obama jacket. Obama left him.
Oh, you got that 44 bomber jacket?
The 44 bomber jacket, yeah. Man, I don't know. He'll feel better, but I don't think it'll make it better.
Right. Well, you can't wear it either.
That's true. You're not allowed.
Well, no. I mean, just his arm length and pipes.
Oh, I got you. I thought you meant like an NCAA.
Yeah, no, you're going to have to put that one up, right? Yeah.
The other thing that sucks for him, he got to play 30-something seconds of his only time to play Carolina at Duke.
I know. And I really feel for him because it's not like he has an opportunity to play another one.
He's not allowed to, Kevin.
Really feel for him.
Kevin, he has to go pro.
He has to.
Don't forget about that.
I've been talking to these NBA people for 20 years. No, he has to.
He has to go pro.
Sign it right here.
He has to do it. All right, coming up, we'll get you the crap bag, including a story you may want to follow in the AAF. This is The Horn.
The Horn's text line is brought to you by Specs, a Texas-sized selection of wines, spirits, finer foods, and specialty beers. Cheers to savings. Chad's Crap Bag.
Crap Bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
All right, a little crap bag for you on a Thursday. First off, I'm told we have a voicemail. How about that? 337-3776. Voicemail, one and only. Here you go.
You guys know who the real victim is and that Nike dude shoe blowing out in that college game? Those poor, poor sweatshop workers.
Jeez.
Oh, my God.
If you want to be real, then yeah, you're right about that.
Man, oh, man, that thing just totally split and blew. That was crazy, man. Yeah, I guess you're right. Nike's going to look into that one, I guarantee you. All right, a little crap bag for you. Every Thursday, I've been throwing up a hat game. Today would be hat game number 5. I went with the tester that I showed you a few weeks ago. Pretty easy stuff with your top row of Purdue, the Chargers, and the Saints. That, of course, is Mr. Breeze. The bottom row should be easy, too. That's Tennessee, the Colts, and the Broncos.
Oh, come on. You got to get Peyton, right?
That's Peyton. And then the middle one might have been a little tough, but all you had to do was check out that Houston Texans roster. It is a current player, LSU and the Texans. I was thinking of Alfred Blue, although somebody on Facebook mentioned Alfred Blue and Dominic Davis / Williams.
Wow.
I was not thinking of that person. I was thinking
good work.
Yeah, exactly.
That's probably a Tiger Texan fan.
I was thinking of Alfred Blue. So there you go. Hat game. Appreciate everybody who went to Facebook and checked it out. And I also threw it on Twitter, on Kevin's advice from last week. For those that can't really grab Facebook as easy, throw it on Twitter as well. So thank you for checking that out. And I already got the one set for next week. There is a Longhorn involved next week.
I like it. I think it's cool.
Yeah.
So we were talking with Devin, who's a big basketball guy, a little bit younger, and he was disappointed that kind of with the way last night went and everything. But he was saying one of the debates I've heard today is, so if he's healthy, does he come back and play? And I would say absolutely he needs to. If not, it says a lot about him and it says a lot about your sport.
I would say.
And I say the same thing with football at times, kind of where we're going. But it's a much more physical sport, football, basketball. Come on, man.
This may be too trusting.
Your 1 year.
Right. This may be too trusting, but my first two gut feels are, A, I would say hell yes, he should. And two, from what I've seen about this kid, I think he will want to.
Yep, I agree.
He seems to dig Duke.
It wouldn't have surprised me last night if he would have been one of the few guys who would come out now and say, you know, it's not about totally me. It's what's the thing? Oh, yeah, we started this sport. I started playing this because I love it. And there's a team aspect, right?
Right.
And So it wouldn't have shocked me last night if he would have wanted to come out. I haven't heard reports on that. But if he would have said, no, let me go. Yeah.
I heard someone say today, I can't remember who it was, say, well, there's not really anything to gain. There's not really anything on the line. I'm like, wait a minute.
No, I know. Why are adults talking like that? Stop talking like that. Listen to what you're saying.
The competition of it, first of all, the ACC title, the national championship, a Final Four run at
right,
Duke.
All that.
That's not worth
that
it.
That does matter. And by the way, we've seen injuries. He's going to be the number one pick no matter what happens.
Oh, my Lord.
I'm just sick
that
of it.
It
is a... it's sad.
Yeah, I agree. That is just completely bizarre.
Just the thinking, and I blame the adults.
All right. Oh, there you go. A little baseball update for you. So the Machado deal, they got it through. They got it figured out. Good. 10 years, $300 million. Maybe now Bryce Harper can go. He's been waiting for it to be official. Now, maybe.
Just waiting now.
Now Scott Boras can get that deal figured out.
No, Scott's trying to get every little inch, and there may be an opt-out because Manny got the opt-out with the Padres in 5 years. So there's going to be little things like that that are going to be in there. And from what it sounds like, Bryce wants his wedding day to be his wedding day. So
he does.
Who knows what those are.
He wants to be the guy.
He does.
Doesn't want to be the bridesmaid. He definitely wants to be the bride on this one. All right. So a couple.
You're going to overpay him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They definitely are. He's going to put the butts in the seats, though.
He will. That's maybe where you're not. And once again, it gets back to me saying you're overpaying him on the field. And an owner would say, it's not all I'm looking for.
Yeah, that's true. All right, a couple quick AAF stories I thought you might like. So I didn't realize this till now. My man Trevor Knight, of course, from Oklahoma, went to Oklahoma and then played at A&M. Trevor Knight is technically the backup quarterback for this Arizona team in AAF, but their starter's good and has been one of the best quarterbacks they've had. Trevor Knight's been playing special teams these first two games.
He was a good athlete. He can run, remember?
He's on the punt team. I didn't realize.
Is he a gunner?
Is it punt or punt return? One of the two punt teams. I don't think he's a gunner, but he's been playing special teams. Rick Neuheisel can't stop talking about how great he is. He's like, oh, I want him involved in every game. He's a leader, and, you know, we're going to put him out there. So apparently Trevor Knight's on special teams.
That's pretty cool.
I thought that was cool.
Hold on. I got Devin saying, hey, come on, give me some love. Devin thinks he should play too.
Yes, he does.
I didn't finish that story.
Devin does think he should. Zion should play if he's able to go. So the other AAF story that connects to a team I know you love, there's a kid named Malachi Jones, a receiver in the AAF that plays for, and why didn't I write? I think he plays for Atlanta. He played at Appalachian State. He is the son of a man named Andre Jones, who played linebacker at Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm. I remember Andre.
The 88 national title team.
Andre tried to hide, and I think this would have been in 89 or 90, tried to hide in the band section to not get too many men on the field.
Really?
Yeah. So team's about to come score on Notre Dame, and you could tell he couldn't get to the sideline, so he just went to the back line and tried to hide with the Notre Dame band.
Wow.
Yeah, that's my Andre Jones story.
All right. Well, my Andre Jones story is not near that happy because Andre Jones died at the age of 42 of an aneurysm. He had a brain aneurysm, 8 years ago, 2011. So Malachi Jones, when he scores, he's pointing to the sky. He is doing everything in honor of his dad.
Wow. I didn't know Andre had passed.
I didn't either. Yeah. So there you go. That story connects back to the Notre Dame 88 team. And this weekend, it is Birmingham at Atlanta on Sunday, along with San Antonio at San Diego. Saturday, Arizona at Salt Lake and Memphis at Orlando. And one of those games is on an app, the Bleacher Report Live app. It's free, but the first game on Saturday is technically on an app. Then it's NFL Network and CBS Sports Network. So if you're still hanging on with the AAF, there you go.
Have you found a team you like? Do you like Spurrier and Gilbert's team?
That's one of them.
Now, where are they? Is that San Antonio?
That's Orlando.
That's Orlando?
Orlando. Three teams I like so far. I like Orlando, Arizona, San Antonio. San Antonio for regional stuff, because there's a few Aggies on that team. I like that. Arizona, dig the logo. Trevor Knight, Neuheisel, and I like that offense. And then with Orlando, it's Spurrier coaching Garrett Gilbert.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just...
And Gilbert's look great.
And Gilbert's played well. Like, I really enjoy watching them. As soon as they find a way to mix in the run game, if they can mix in this kid from South Florida, they could be really dangerous. Spurrier just needs to find a few more run plays. They could be all right.
And that's the thing you worry about with these spring leagues, is the quarterback play. Is the ball going to be hitting the ground too much? And
right.
We need to see good quarterback play, and we have with him.
Yes, and the other thing we're seeing it with Gilbert. The other thing, as I've mentioned, we're seeing too many balls hit the ground because of the receivers too, not just the quarterbacks.
Right.
We're seeing a couple situations where it was kind of like the worst of everybody's had this with their quarterback, right? He puts it right on the button, and then the receiver drops it, or the receiver runs a perfect route and he airmails him. We're seeing both of those things in the AAF, but last weekend I felt like I just saw way too many drops. I'm like, dude, you're wearing the fancy gloves. You ran the route perfectly. You got to catch a ball. That's why you're here.
Well, I'm about to say, they're there because they can run.
Yeah.
They probably have a lot of things that other NFL receivers do. Hands are big, though.
Oh, yeah. It's a big deal. Yeah.
And you can only get so much better with that.
Right.
Especially
true.
Hand-eye coordination.
You can catch, right. You can catch or you can't. It's kind of in the job description.
I'll look at the kid and say, look at the guy and say, should have played baseball. Sorry.
Mm. They don't just call them wides.
Should have played all three of them, actually, growing up.
Yeah. They're called wide receivers. It's in the name. You have to receive the ball. It's kind of part of your job. All right, 6 o'clock hour coming up. Breaking story this hour about Longhorn basketball. We'll get that out to you. The Zion blowout from last night still being discussed. And we're closing in on the combine. How about 8 days away? Is that Kepi right? Yes, 8 days away from the combine. We talked to an NFL guy earlier about Charles Omenihue and some of the Longhorns. We'll reset that for you coming up on the Horn.